Ever thought about how wonderful it is to share? Rex, down, down. Rex, down, down. Good boy. Now, Rex was looking for attention. He wanted to have sharing. And he thought the way to have sharing is to take his giant paw and paw everybody and say, come pet me, come love me. Come share with me. And we don't always agree. And if we don't agree, then he keeps pawing us and ripping the flesh off our arms, at least mine. So I've always got explaining to do, and people say, well, how'd you hurt your arm like that? You know, my dog loved me. And that's what sharing is all about, isn't it? It's all about, truly, joy comes from sharing. And this is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly bringing you the thought for today, joy comes from sharing. How many of you are able to live a life just filled with joy, just filled with sharing, just filled with goodness? Or do you have to start swearing your head off? You have to start swearing your head off to get attention to do it. And I said, damn it! Pay attention, you know. And does that help? Yes, it helps very much. It says to you who's doing the swearing that you're not getting across. Nobody's listening to you. And you're trying to get attention. You're like Rex. You put your paw up on people. You put your paw up on people. Why don't you pet me? Why don't you pay attention to me? I'm asking you to pet me. I'm asking you to pay attention to me. I'm asking you to share love with me. You know, share love with me. And we don't do that. We say, no, Rex, we're doing other things. You know, we're sitting here at the table drinking our tea or coffee. No, Rex, we're eating our dinner now. And no, Rex, down, down, Rex, down. And finally, he goes down because he's just a little boy. He's just an innocent child who keeps going until he gets what he wants. And if you say down, that means lay down on the floor and be quiet now, then, well, okay, I guess that's where we are at the game. That's how much love they're going to share with me. But no, he doesn't feel sad about it. He has no emotions about it. He shares the purest love. The love... when you tell him to behave, he doesn't think that you're mad at him and you're evil toward him and you're hurting him. And when you take your leash and you say, Rex, stop it now, Rex. And then you take the leash and you strap him on the hind end and you say, Rex, I was talking to you. And he looks at you, oh, okay. You know, he needs to have a little heavy-duty attention sometimes, but... he needs heavy-duty attention only because you need heavy-duty attention. You have people say, oh, you're wonderful. That was very nice. That was very thoughtful. It's, oh, you really think so? You know? And dogs don't really need that. Nobody does. But we are training ourselves and the world to need it. And we say to a child, now sit in your chair properly. Sit in your chair properly. Sit in your chair properly. And we're trying to share love. And we're trying to share training. And what the mother and father should do is just say, son, daughter, I'm not getting through to you. Come on. Let's just sit here now while the family finish the meal and then clear the table. And then we'll stay here. And so then everybody leaves the room. Now, you see, the father had never done this before. But everybody leaves the room. The dishes are all put away. The food for the boy and the father are still on the table. And then the father says, okay, now sit in your chair. And the kid gets up and goes to do something. I told you to sit in your chair. Now, I want you to mind what I say. But, Dad, I want to get a glass of water. Well, ask me and I'll get it for you. I want you to sit in your chair when I want you to sit in your chair. I'm not being dictatorial. I'm just training you to follow my directions. Because if I say, don't walk in the street, and you walk in the street and get killed, and then they'll say, well, you never trained that child to follow directions. You never trained that child to behave. You always let the child do what it wanted to do. And so it wanted to go run in the street, and so it ran in the street, you know? And nobody's going to love that father for letting that child get killed, are they? Mm-hmm. Not at all. And they're not going to love the child for being obstreperous and running out in the street when he's being trained. Well, see, if the father or the mother or anybody cared enough about the child at the point at which they are getting training and was sincere and loving in the training, no, you naughty little boy, how can I ever love you if you don't behave? That sort of nonsense. And that's what parents oftentimes, because that's the way they were trained. And so you say to the child, now sit in your chair. Okay, now eat your meal. But Dad, it's cold. That's okay. You waited so long and it got cold. But just eat it. It won't hurt you. It's wonderful food. But just eat it. Now, why is it that you felt that you didn't want to do as I asked you to do? Well, you're always telling me what to do. Well, would you like me not to tell you what to do? Yes. All right. Well, you go to some other family. You go to some other family, because if you don't want to be in my family, in our family, where the father tells the children what to do, and the mother tells the children and raises them as to be fine young people, beautiful people, when you go in other people's homes, they love to have you come there. They say, you're so well-behaved, you're so mannerly, you're so beautiful, you're so thoughtful, you're so loving. And you see, this is what we miss. Now, but the father took time to sit with the child at the table after everybody left and said, now, I'm going to sit with you while you're eating here. But, Dad, I want to go play. Everybody's out and play. No, we're having a lesson right now. We're learning how to play the guitar. We're learning how to play the piano. This is our lesson. It's our time of practice right now. So you're going to practice sitting there at the table and not being unhappy. Not liking it. You don't have to like what you do. It's always nice if you do. But we're just practicing following directions. Now, is there anything, son, that you'd like me to do?
Well, yeah. I'd like you not to shout at me so much.
Well, what had happened? What makes me shout at you?
Well, every time I don't do what you tell me.
Well, then maybe if you start doing what I tell you, I won't shout at you anymore. Now, come here.
You told me to stay in my chair.
You know. No, come here. So the boy comes over to his father, and the father says, come here. And he puts his arms around the boy and gives him a big hug and a big smooch. And he says, you know, I really love you. You're a neat kid. Now, go back and sit in your chair. And the kid goes back and sits in his chair. Now, he can't be angry, because that was a sincere hug and a smooch. That was sincere. And so he sits in his chair, and he's thinking to himself, you know, I got a pretty nice dad. I don't know how many dads hug and kiss their kids, but I got a pretty nice dad. And he's changing his attitude about his dad, but the dad also is changing his attitude of how he disciplines. Most dads will say, you behave, or I'm going to take off my belt, and then you'll feel it. You know, my dad did that. You know, and He never had to take his belt off. He just warned us. And we knew, because he had done it once. We knew that he could do it, and he would do it. Because he had a no-nonsense type man. Mm-hmm. But we don't need to be a no-nonsense type man. We can be an absolute loving type man, sharing and showing our love. How many fathers hug and kiss their kids? All too few. Oh, in the beginning when they're little, you know, and they're tiny babies and stuff like that. But as they're growing into their children years, into the 8-10 years old and so forth, they don't get hugged and they don't get kissed. Because the father and the mother haven't learned how to discipline their children. Because they haven't learned how to discipline their children. Because they haven't learned how to discipline their children. They haven't learned how to discipline their children. What am I talking about? Why do we have to discipline our children? Why do we have to manipulate and control our children? Why don't we be a living example of what we want our children to be, a loving example? And if we are a loving example, we're an example of joy. And when you're playing ball, you show the kid you can hit the ball, the bat, you know. And he says, show me how, Dad, show me how. And, well, here's how I do it. But many people have different ways to do it. This is my way. And so they learn together and they practice together. And the father doesn't say, oh, stupid, stupid. He says, like the Arnaldi kids, you know, oh, you're wonderful, Jerome, Giacomo, you're wonderful. And Giacomo was fouling up and fouling up and fouling up. And the kids, they knew how important it was to have praise. And so they gave Giacomo praise. And pretty soon, Giacomo was catching the ball. Catching the ball, not doing the right thing with it, but he's catching it. But, and perhaps if I had stayed there longer to watch, I would have seen him doing many more things. But the kids knew how to train another kid because they knew how they'd like to be trained. They'd like to be trained with love, and they'd like to be trained with appreciation. They'd like to be trained with the feeling that someone cares about them. But when they act obstreperous, when they act mean, when they act hateful, when they act with an unhappy heart, it's hard to be loving to them. Other children sometimes understand that because they've been there and they've done that. But adults, it's been so long since they've been there, they oftentimes forget. You have to overlook the learning experience on the negative and look on the positive on the learning experience and just say, son, I'm proud of you. You're in there trying. And I was in there trying too when I started out, and it took me a little while to get going, but you seem to be catching on faster than I did, in fact. You're doing just great. I'm real proud of you. I'm real proud of you. And let it go. And then later, say I'm proud of you for something else. And pretty soon the kid will be proud of himself because his dad is proud of him. He says, you know, I did this for my dad. And he says, that's the nicest piece of work I've ever seen, you know. And it probably was a nothing, you know. But the dad knew that that was very important at that time. The joy that we have in loving with all our heart and sharing, if we're going to look for trying to remake the world, we've got problems. But if we're going to love the world and appreciate the world the way it is, and encourage it to be like we are, then we have to be that way. And when we are that way, then wonderful things happen. But love is shared by joy. And when you have joy in your heart, and joy in your life, and you're looking for the good at all times, the good comes to you. And it works in your world, and it's wonderful to do. And it's fun to do. I might say, Ingeborg was raised in a very tough childhood. She had the Second World War going on there. Nobody else experienced this. And she experienced the Second World War, and she experienced living in Italy, and she experienced living in Germany, and she experienced hard times. And she experienced good times, and she just had a tough life. And so, in all of her ways, she's tough. In all of her attitudes toward everybody, she treats them just like she was treated when she was a little child, you know, and not realizing that all the time she wanted to be treated with love. When we can let go of the past and live now, live in the now, it's fantastic. But if we're going to keep dredging up the past of when we had troubles as a child or when we had troubles as a young person or whatever, we're going to be living in that dreadful quality. And we're going to be raising our children the same way, and we're going to be raising each other the same way. So anyone who sees Ingeborg's unhappy childhood is not helping themselves or Ingeborg. Anyone who sees Sylvia with her feeling of she must be the boss, she must be in charge, she must be in control, and that she's a big girl and she doesn't need Ellen to be her mama. You know, anytime she has that feeling and we see her with that feeling, you know what we're doing? We're empowering Sylvia to continue with that unhappy feeling. But Ellen hit me in the head with a baseball bat the other day when I was talking about Sylvia. And Ellen says, you know, why is it that everybody who meets Sylvia falls in love with her? Why is it that everybody thinks Sylvia is such a wonderful, beautiful, thoughtful, caring person? And because that is one of Sylvia's natures. Now, if I were Sylvia, I'd have that be my permanent, total nature. That everybody loves me, and I love everybody. And I'm looking for the good in everybody, and everybody's looking for the good in me. And I'm looking for the success and happiness in everything. And I don't have to tell people that I'm so good and I'm so wonderful, because I see it in them, and I tell them how good they are and how wonderful they are. And oh boy, does that make points for me. But I'm not doing it for points. I'm doing it because it's the truth, and I'm having fun. All of us need to let go of the past, because it is of no value. And the past is 10 minutes ago. The past is a day ago. The past is past. We live in the current present. And do we have the most beautiful monks in the world here in the Absolute Monastery?
Yes.
Well, I'm glad that you said so. Did you say so?
Yes.
You want to say a little more enthusiasm?
Yes.
Yes, 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 yes. And you too?
Yes.
A little more enthusiasm?
Yes.
That's not much more enthusiasm. Come on. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Ingeborg, you were born with a smile on your face. And all of your life you've been trying to tear it off. It won't work. So you might as well admit to it and live with that smile on your face and be that way. Just like Sylvia. She's always got a smile on her face. Wherever she goes, people love her. Wherever she does, people think she's just the most gracious lady. Now, isn't that a nice way to have people think of you?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that a nice way to have people think of you? No, they're not going to think of you because you want them to.
Their nature.
They're going to think of you because that's who you are. As Ellen says, that's your nature. Now, what do they do about Ellen? Oh, Ellen is a very loud person. Ellen is a very powerful person. Ellen's a very interesting person. Ellen is a very knowledgeable person. But the thing is, sometimes they think that Ellen is trying to be too much in control. And do you know why they're thinking that? Because Ellen is doing her very best to be in control in her life. She wants to be in charge of her world to do the finest and the best things that she can do. And so sometimes it sort of runs over in what her dealings with other people. So just love her and bless her while she's doing it, because she's really not doing it to you. She's doing it to herself to train herself how to be the kind of person that she'd like to be. A very powerful, dynamic, independently wealthy. Did I say that right, Ellen?
Very good.
Independently wealthy lady. Whom everyone admires and loves. And that's the way to be. And that's the way for all of us to be. Now, talking about each one of you, I'm not telling tales out of school. It's all very definite to anyone who meets you. But now, surprise everybody and do it for the sheer joy of loving. And you will find that love is truly wonderful. Love comes from sharing, and that's all that it's all about. Have a lovely, wonderful, beautiful day, a loving day. The weather outside is crisp and delightful. Go outside and walk around, breathe in deep, and realize that you have just begun to live because I love you. I love you. I love you.
Okay.